12. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. Now you see, I hear people all the time whining and complaining. Mama died, daddy died, somebody died, and the family's fussing and fighting over who gets what. There's nothing new under the sun. And what I like about it is not just Baptists that are doing it. Okay, they've been fighting over the junk as long as people have had junk. And so that's not a new thing. Then verse 14, and he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Now all the Lord is saying there is, that's not what I'm here for. That's not the kind of stuff I'm interested in. You guys take care of that yourself, you know. And the Lord's not going to get embroiled in those kind of things. That's not the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know the Catholics miss that, the Presbyterians, Episcopalians miss that, but that's not what, Jesus just not into that. Amen. Verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, what he does do is gives them a warning about what they're doing. Because they are displaying their natural man. They are displaying the greed or the covetousness of the natural unregenerate heart. If you're not saved, the only thing you've got to fret about and worry about is how much junk you can get. Amen? I saw a thing in an office here a while back, maybe a year or two ago now, I guess. It said, he who dies with the most toys wins. And I thought, well, you know, that's not right. Dead is dead, and everybody left their toys. Amen. Amen? What kind of win is that? If I win, I want a reward for it. So verse 15, he said, take heed, beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now, this is the forerunner. This is the precursor. This is the, what do you call the first model of a thing? Prototype. This is the prototype of you lock it, you store it, you keep the key. This is an American thing here. God put that in here for 21st century Americans because we got more junk than we can keep in our attic, our basement, our closet, our garage, and the building out back. And now, all across the nation, we spend millions of dollars every year to buy places. You know, we have to build bigger and buy more in order to store all of our goods. See how up to date the Bible is? The King James Bible is a 21st century translation. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have nowhere to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, if the King James was translated in 1611, if it were translated today, they would have said, chase Mary. Because we have a new obsession. What verse was I on? Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We need Your power. We need Your wisdom. We need Your direction. We need an unction from on high. Lest this just be 35, 40 minutes of talking and rhetoric and nothing gets accomplished. So we ask that You would undertake and undergird, take the Word, lodge it in the heart and in the mind, use it in each individual as that individual needs it. We'll thank You and praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'll bring you a little message this morning entitled, Time's Up, Lights Out, You're Out of Here. Got it? Time's up, lights out, you're out of here. That's what happened to this old boy. Time's up, lights out, you're gone. And that day is coming for everybody here. Amen. Now, before we get to the lights out, though, I'd like to make some comments about the little passage we just read. It's not exactly rocket science, but it's amazing how God crams a lot of different things into a small space sometimes. So, looking at verse 13, now in verse 13, you got the families fighting over the inheritance. My secretary, her husband's brother died, Lou Gehrig's disease, a couple of 3 weeks ago. He's in his 50s. And before he died, when they called the family in, he only had hours or days, so at the most, they called the family in, and while he's laying there, gasping for his last breath, they're fighting. They're calling each other on the phone. They are texting each other. They're calling each other bad names. He said I could have this, and, well, you know I always wanted it, and they're fussing and fighting and it's an obscene thing to behold. This guy had been married twice, I guess. He'd been married to this last lady 20-something years. And when he married the first wife, he and her had bought a couple cemetery plots somewhere to take care of themselves when they came to their untimely demise. And, of course, they had a couple of kids together. But he divorced her and married this other lady. They've been married 25 years. And they bought cemetery plots. And so, the new wife has the fella buried in the plots they bought. The children are going ballistic because they wanted daddy buried in the plots that he and mama bought. What a fight. What a testimony. We're going to fight over which piece of ground daddy's bones go in. And then they're fighting. And of course, you know, I'm real simple about that stuff. When I die, everything I've got belongs to her. That simple. And if I wanted you to have anything or you wanted anything that I've got, you come back in about 6-8 months after you had time to grieve and time to sort it out and talk to her about it. But until then, just bugger off, mate. Amen. That's what I told this lady. I said, tell them all to take a hike. He had a wife he's married to. Everything belongs to her, and all the decisions regarding it are her decisions. Amen. There is nothing to fight about. Amen. Anyway, I got to hurry. I'm going to get through. So, anyway, this is not a new phenomenon. And then in verse 14, you find that the Lord is telling them that there's more to life than the junk you acquire. Lo and behold, here we are, 2,100 years later, and people still need to learn that there's more to life than the junk you get. It seems like some people, their idea of success, their idea of happiness, their concept of having been successful is how much did I acquire while I was there? Where did I go? What did I do? And how much did I have? That's the measure that we use to determine whether or not a person had a good life, a successful life. You know, we'll say, well, he had a good life. They went here and they went there. They traveled a lot. Well, I don't mean he had a good life. You can go from here to Aruba and fuss and fight all the way down and back.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe the fellow took some of them trips to get away from home. I don't know. Junk never determines how happy you are. It never determines what kind of life you have. I've had some new stuff. And in a little while, it's all old stuff. And I've found, here's the honest truth, I found that a lot of the new stuff I bought, by the time it gets to be old stuff, it's also broken stuff. It wears out. It breaks. Bought my wife one of them little, I can't keep up with all the gadgets on the market, but it's a little tiny thing that's got about 300 gospel songs in it. iPod, oh yeah. Why do they call it a Peapod or something? It's an iPod. I don't. It's a little tiny thing. The headset, the earphone for it, is bigger than the iPod thingy. It's got all this music in it. She comes in there and she said, "It's not working." I said, "What's wrong with it?" "The headset doesn't work." Well, just the other day the thing was new and shiny and sparkly and it was the wonder of the world. And now it's old and broke. That's what you're going to fight over that? That's going to be the pursuit of your life, is to acquire all this junk that wears out? Look at verse 15. The Lord issues a warning. Now, we ought to take that to heart. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord of glory. This is God incarnate. And He said, boys and girls, beware. Watch out. Be careful. Don't get ensnared. Don't get tricked. Be careful about the covetousness of your heart. He said, don't get too wrapped up in getting all that junk. We've obviously not taken him seriously about that. I don't know anybody that doesn't want to get all they can and keep all they get. Christians who are supposed to have some semblance of moderation about the things of this life, you can't tell them much anymore from the rest of the world. Because we've got to have the big new house too. And we've got to have the fancy car. And we've got to take the same high dollar extended vacations. You know, and you either have to own a place at the beach or in the mountains. Or have a camper. Or, timeshares. I have never understood the concept of I don't get it. I've set to get a free meal three different times. And God is my witness, I still don't understand why anybody would buy one of them fool things. Do you know how many hotel rooms I can rent with a pool and a continental breakfast for the price of one of them timeshares? The honest truth is, I looked at it one time. I had a friend who's got a bunch of them things, and he's got like three or four of them. And I'm in there one day, and he's checking, he's writing out a check. I said, what's that for? He said, that's for the maintenance on my timeshare. The upkeep fees and all that stuff. And I looked at that, and I thought, you know, I get two weeks of vacation a week, year. That's 10 working days, 14 days total. And I pay $100 to $125 a night at Hampton Inn for a nice room. I can take all the vacation I've got and stay at a nice Hampton Inn for less money than he was paying for the maintenance. Why in heaven's name would anybody buy one of them fool things? Anyway, they say, oh, I've got three of them. We just like to brag about all the junk we got, don't you? We have to tell people which subdivision we live in. Out here on 49, I'm going to digress, but y'all got plenty of time. Some guy built a castle out here on Highway 49. Whatever it is. Tacky. I mean, just this guy is the king of tack. For one thing, anybody build a big old house like that, and it not be up on a hillside surrounded by lakes and grounds, is pretending. See, he built that thing to be seen of men. Amen. And you know he doesn't have any money, because the time he built the house, he didn't have enough money left to put a double wide electric gate in. He got a little narrow thing, and his little driveway is a little tiny loop big enough for one car. If he was really a castle owner, I mean, you know, the real deal, that thing would have been at least two cars wide. Amen. And he can only burn half of his lights at night to shine up on the side of his window. But you know what that guy's saying? He said, look at me. Look what I got. Look what I did. I'm successful. I own this. I've got so and so. Well, I don't care. I don't care. And you know something? Nobody else cares either. What verse, Mom? All right, verse 15. The Lord warns them. And he tells me to be careful about that craving for abundance. You got to learn to keep it in check. Amen. Everybody knows and understands that it requires a certain amount of this world's goods to get by. I mean, we got to eat and stay dry, you know. And as the society at large, as the world in general, makes more money and becomes more affluent, we, as a whole, have a higher standard of living. Nothing wrong with that. God never condemns that. It's A1 okie dokie. It's when you want to have excessively above what you need or can use. You know, if you haven't used it in 6 weeks, you don't need it. See, why don't you throw some of that stuff away? Oh, no. Just as sure as I throw it away, I'll need it. Then go buy another one. Verse 16 is the Lord Jesus Christ offering an illustration to make clear to the man who asked the question. Remember, it all started with a fellow saying, tell my brother to share the inheritance. And the Lord said, I don't have anything to do with that kind of junk. That's not why I'm here. And then he said, beware of covetousness. He's talking to that man. He's saying, you're in danger of wanting or being too concerned about acquiring the things of this life. He said, here's an illustration. He said, here's what I'm talking about. And so the Lord gives, in verse 17 and 18, down through there, He gives a vivid illustration of what happens to people who get caught up in acquiring this world's goods. They get obsessed with the toys. Amen? So, he does that in verse 16. Now, verse 17, let me point out something that sometimes I think we fail to see in this verse. In verse 17, it said, a certain rich man, this guy was rich before this thing started. This wasn't a poor man who got rich. This wasn't a poor man who planted and his crops did well and he became wealthy. This guy's wealthy to start with. A certain rich man planted. And the fields and the fruit came in. And he had more than he had before. And he had more than he could use. He had more than he could store. He had more than he could handle. The story might have been a little different if the guy had been a poor sharecropper, you know, and made good. This guy was wealthy to start with. I think a lot of times we need to stop and think and remember the truth is we're a lot wealthier most of the time than we want to let on we are. Americans in particular, in our day and age, We talk about the poor this and the poor that and the poor. Listen, the poor in America have a far better lifestyle than the poor in any other country in the world. And we complain, well, I'm just poor old working stiff, you know. I'm middle class, lower middle class, middle class, upper middle class, whatever it is. I'm not going to let you define me that way. I don't want to be upper or middle or lower class. I just want to be a jackass. Remember me that way. Amen. Now, but but the Lord said, this guy was wealthy to start with. Anybody here going to go hungry today? Anybody here doesn't have a place to stay? Did anybody have to walk to church this morning? Anybody here in raggedy, wore out, run down clothes that embarrass you and make you ashamed? Are you not going to eat a good lunch today and dinner tonight? You're going to ride in a pretty nice automobile back and forth from home to church, and half of you are going to eat out lunch today. How dare we say, I'm poor? We're rich to start with. You're not going hungry. Your kids are not going hungry. What we mean is we're poor in comparison, relatively speaking, to the guy that owns the castle on Highway 49. Compared to him, we're poor. But God would look at you and say, you're pretty well off. You're rich. I'm sitting here looking at all the ladies this morning, and they all either have on a necklace or earrings or a wedding band or jewelry or a nice wristwatch. Every one of you. Well, if you can afford jewelry and whatnots and doodads, you're not too poor. Because if you was really poor, you'd have spent all that money buying a loaf of bread. Amen. I remember when I was a boy, we ate jam sandwiches. Anybody here ever eat jam sandwiches? Do you know what a jam sandwich is? That's a slice of loaf bread and mayonnaise. Fold it over, jam it together, and stuff it down. That's a jam sandwich. We didn't have no grape jelly. Had mayonnaise. It wasn't too bad, though, I'm telling you. That's a good Duke, you know. Verse 17. The rich man fought within himself. Well, that's where we do most of our thinking. No breakthroughs here, boys and girls. Rich man thought within himself. And what did he think? Did he say, you know, my barns are full, my silos are full, my cows are well fed, I've got more than enough for this winter and the spring. I'm fixed. Boy, and I've got this crop coming in, and I don't have any place to put it. Tell you what, I'm going to find that fellow down here that's just got one or two cows and a couple old goats, and I'm going to give him some. He doesn't have enough acreage to ever fill up his silo or fill up his barn. I'll share. He didn't say that. There's no hint in there anywhere at any time under any circumstance that this guy ever thought about anybody else or about giving or distributing or taking care of or being concerned about anybody else on the planet. He thought within himself and everything he said, I and I. Everything in that verse was about himself. This guy was self-absorbed, self-centered. He was not interested in anybody else. He was already rich. He does not need this. This crop is not a need that he has to keep from starving or to take care of his family. This is an abundance. It's a surplus. But he wanted to hang on to every tiny bit of it. Oh, we got a whole generation like that. That's why you got all them, you store it, you like it, you keep the key places. That's why you ride down the road and here's a place out here and here sits 40 motor homes and 50 campers and 50 or 60 boats sitting out there. There's some things I don't understand about our mentality, the way we do things. All across the country, sitting out in the backyard as an old boat that ain't been moved in 5 years. Or a camper that's all covered with pollen and debris off the oak trees and the pine trees, and the tires are flat because they ain't been moved since Moby Dick was a minnow. Or you go down and here's the lock it up storing place, and here's row after row of campers and boats. But you know why that is? One, they bought that thing, they used it a time or two, they got tired of it, they parked it. And they've taken up some other new hobby. Amen? You know how many attics you can go to in America and go up here and here's tripods and cameras and developing equipment and God only knows what all's up there because this guy was into photography. And he had to have the best Nikon single reflex, blah, 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 whatever it was. And now he's got them new digital jobbies with a card in it that takes 59,800 pictures without reloading. But he got tired of it. Now it's up in the attic in a cardboard box. And now he's into parasailing. Or some. You know. That's the way we are. We just go from one toy to another. And we stick the other one in the closet someplace. He thought within himself, I'm going to do this because I'm not giving it up. I'm not sharing it. I'm going to keep it. I went to a fella's house probably been a year or so ago. Real nice place. He's a real nice fella. And went up in his attic. He was having some issues. And I went up to see if I could figure it out. And when I walk up the stairs, the pull-down stairway into his attic, there are 6 sets of golf clubs. Complete sets. All the woods, all the irons, all the putters, the bag, the whole 9 yards. And they are all Ping and TaylorMade and Ben Hogan. And they're all brand names. He's got them all. I said, you play much golf? No, I said, I hadn't played in about 3 years. Why don't you sell them, but you let somebody use them? Oh, no. We're obsessed with the junk. Now, this fellow thought within himself, and of course it reveals what's really in his heart. What was really in his heart was himself. The Chuckwagon Gang used to sing a song years and years ago. I loved that thing. And the first line in the song was, it says, I used to love nobody more than myself. I thought, well, that probably describes half the population, you know. Now, verse 17, 18. Here's what he thinks. He said, I'll build bigger and I'll have someplace to put all this stuff. Verse 19. So he decides what he's going to do and then he says, now, my barns are full, my silos are full, and I'm having to expand. I'm building bigger barns and bigger silos. He said, and the man said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, be merry. Right? All this is going on in his head. It's all about himself. He's consumed. Consumed with his junk. He said, the man said to his said, I will say to my soul. And he did. I'm sure he did. He said, soul, look at what I've got. I got it made. Now that's the body talking to the soul. See, that's the conversation inside. The man said, I will say to my soul, soul. Now, what he didn't realize was, soul don't care. Only the flesh is interested in all the junk. Your body is concerned about all the junk. The real guy, that soul inside, he can give two hoots and a holler about that stuff. He don't care one way or the other. He can't touch it. He can't use it. He can't keep it. And so when the man said, I'm going to tell my soul, it's like he's bragging to himself. He's bragging to the man inside. He's forgotten that the outer man is to perish. But he is. He said, I'll say to my soul, you got plenty of stuff. You got lots of junk. You can take it easy. Verse 20. They said, then God said to the man, third party. God said, man, you fool. He said, well, now, God didn't talk very nice there, did he? No, he talked like Baptist preacher. Just real plain. That's how his Baptist preachers learn how to talk. We just see how God does it and we just copy him. I'm sorry. The Lord said, thou fool, this night, not tomorrow night, not next week, not 6 months from now, not you've got 6 weeks to live, not you need to go get a checkup. He said, thou fool, this night, tonight, that means right now, thy soul shall be required of thee. Time's up. Lights out. We're out of here. That's the way it's going to be one of these days. You're going to run out of time. You're going to turn out the lights. And you're out of here. It's going to happen to every last one of us. Whether you're successful or not. Whether anybody else thinks highly of you or not. Whether you're ready to go or not. Won't make any difference. Time's up. Lights out. You're out of here. Got it? He said, but I can't leave. I just got all this junk. Yeah, that's the whole point, isn't it? What was the next statement? Then who shall these things be? There's a couple of things about excess goodies. Ecclesiastes says, talking about a man, he said, a man that has silver. He said, what good is it unto him except the beholding of it with his eyes? See, if you've got more than you can use, it's just laying there. So what good do you get out of it? You just have the knowledge that it's yours. You don't use it. You don't play with it. You don't spend it. What good is it? The only good that it serves, if you've got more than you can use, is for you to boast and say, I've got it. Well, I got a 41 footer down at you park it in Locket Place. Oh man, I said, honest truth, and I got a 26 foot boat down there with 250 horsepower motors and one of them big old campers with a fifth wheel on it. And it, where are they at? Oh, said it's sitting down there by the side highway 49 there by that little pond. You ever use them? Oh, no. We just so busy, don't have time to mess with them things. But I got them. Anybody else gets to bragging? I'm more. Lord said, you're going to die tonight. Then who gets the junk? And the guy said, oh, I never thought about that. If you got more than you can use, what good is it? Except for you to boast. That's all it's good for. And then Ecclesiastes said, talking about the man who was rich and had acquired a lot of this world's good, he said, talking about vanity and vexation of spirit, he said, he knoweth not whether he leave it to a wise man or a fool. Ain't that a hoot? You spend your whole life trying to get all that junk. You know, man, you got you a nice 401k and you got some blue chip stocks and you did well, and you got a little chunk of money. Boy, and you think you got it all set and you drop dead. I had a friend I used to play golf with, and he was an engineer down at Guardian Industries, and he had put in the maximum amount in his 401k and had been there for 25, 28 years. He had a pretty good chunk. He retired. A month after he retired, had a stroke. Got over that. His daughter and her husband moved down to Florida, so he and his wife sold their house and moved down to Florida to be with the daughter and the grandbaby and all that. Wasn't down there 2 months, fell over dead. Now who's got all his stuff? He don't know. He's gone on. And he don't know the people that's got it. And he don't know whether they're wise and using it properly or if they just blew it in. My grandmother, she worked in a cotton mill her whole life, and she saved up $2,000-$3,000 over a lifetime. Her husband ran off in the middle of the Depression, left her with four kids, and she had to pinch pennies, but I mean literally pinch pennies. To her dying day, she cut the sugar in half and everything. But she managed to scrimp together a couple thousand dollars and she left it to her own daughter. She had three sons and a daughter. She left all of her money to her daughter. A couple weeks after Grandma died, the daughter took the money and went down and bought a used car. Whole lifetime of savings spent in 5 minutes to buy a vehicle that was half shot when they bought it. Whole lifetime. Who knows who's going to get your stuff, whether they be a wise man or a fool? Wouldn't it just drive you bonkers if you knew that you busted your backside all your life and scrimped and saved and got acquired this and had that and you were so proud of it and you sweated and you worked and some knucklehead gets it, spend it in a week, tear it up in an afternoon. Makes you just want to choke him to death, don't it? Verse 21, the question is, now which fool gets your stuff, fool? Stuff just goes from one fool to the next. Now, all that was introduction. I have six little points about that, things that we need to learn from the story. Then we have 5 points for the message, so just hang with me. I'll be as quick as I can. Here's things you ought to learn from the story. Number one, people will fight for their junk. If you don't believe it, you just try and take something somebody's got. Shortchange them a little bit. Now, they'll cut your throat. Make a mess just like that. People will fight for junk. People will fight if you try to take it. They will fight to try and get it. They'll work extra hours, work part-time jobs. They do all kind of stuff to get to do what? To have this world's goods. Number two, nobody ever has enough. Now, these are the lessons you're supposed to be learning. You need to learn that people will fight to get this world's good. You need to learn that nobody ever has enough. No matter how much they got, they want more. Remember that there's a little cartoon strip in the newspaper. I like it. I read it every day. What was it? Wilberforce or whatever his name is, you know. He's got the boss that's just incredibly rich. And when they show a picture of the boss's desk, he's got bags of money sitting around the bottom of it. And one time they had one of the strips said, the guy, whatever his name is, Wilberforce or whatever it was, asked him if he knew exactly how much he was worth. And he was offended. No. If I knew exactly how much I had, you'd know it wasn't enough. That's where we're at, man. Then you need to learn from this little story that there's more to life than junk. Remember, this fellow didn't know anything about God, but God interrupted him anyway. The Lord said, "Thou fool." So you need to learn that life is more than junk. You need to learn that there is a God. This guy apparently was unaware of that. At least he lived as if there was no God. A lot of people have heard about him, but they live as if there's no God. I know a lot of Christians that live as if there is no God. You need to learn that there is an eternity. You need to learn that. This life is not all there is. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't count on this life as the sum total of everything. That's not it. You need to learn that from that little story. Now, I'm going to give you five things that this rich man did not know. Five things that he did not know. Now, you say, well, he was rich, he's wealthy, he must have been educated, he must have been a pretty smart man, all that's true. But nobody knows everything, and here's five things this guy, this fool, did not know. Number one, he did not know a limit to his greed. When he had an opportunity to get more, even though he didn't need it, even though it was an excess, even though it was a waste, he didn't slow down, he didn't bat an eye. He just jumped right in there to get all he could get. Number two, he did not know God. In none of his debates, when he thought within himself, when he was planning and scheming what to do and how to do it, there is no mention, no recollection. Huh. My eye teeth go to sleep and I can't see what I'm saying. And it's just, there's no recollection. Sometimes my brain gets in front of my tongue, see? But I'm working on it. There's no recollection of God, no mention of God anywhere in anything he said, thought, or did. What a shame to live your life, no matter how much you got, and not know God. People say, if I just had this or that or him or her, I would be happy. No, you wouldn't. Number three, he did not know the day of his death. He did not know that he had less than 12 hours to live. You don't know when you're going to die either. You say, well, you know, we have to occupy till he comes. Well, that's true. I give you that. We need to keep on living and you have to make some plans. You have to look forward to the future to some degree. But I'd be real careful about getting too carried away with it. And getting too concerned with it. Getting too wrapped up in it. Making it too important. Because you can make all them big plans and say you're going to do this and going to do that and I'm going to get this and be dead tonight. Most of the people that I know that have died or been killed, and I know a right good many of those, had no idea it was going to be today. They weren't looking for it. They weren't planning it. It just happened out of a clear blue sky. Now my grandmother was old. She got sick. So her death, even though we did not know the exact day or hour, it was anticipated. It did not come as a big surprise or a shock. My mother had cancer. She was very ill, had been ill for a long time. We did not know the day or the hour, but we knew it was coming and we were pretty much prepared for it, psychologically, emotionally, kind of thing. But a lot of people die and you had no idea that it was going to be today. Their health was good. They were not depressed. They weren't suicidal. But they're dead anyhow. My brother got in an airplane up in Washington, D.C., headed back to the Army base down here in North Carolina, Fort Bragg. And airplane messed up. Something broke on it. They drove it into the ground. He left a wife, 3 children. He had 14 months left till he retired. He wasn't looking for it, wasn't expecting it, didn't anticipate it, and didn't want it. But he's dead anyway. This cousin of Brother Tommy's going out to dinner with a friend, expects to go out and eat and have a pleasant evening and come back home, and she's dead and gone. And you might be 76 like her, you might be 16. I have a friend over in Clover. Teenage boy was driving a pickup truck one night, come around a curve too fast, lost control, ran off the road, hit a tree, killed him instantly. He wasn't expecting it, didn't anticipate it, thought he had his whole life ahead of him, but he's dead. You do not know the time of your departure. And this rich man didn't know the day of his death. Then, he did not know who would get all the stuff he left behind. I have decided to use it all and spend it all before I check out if I can. Because I'm afraid some turkey will get it and misuse it and not enjoy it. And it would just kill me if what if some unsaved reprobate got what I got, what I worked for, that I sweated for and prayed for, and God gave it to me, and I die and some reprobate gets it. I'd be most unhappy. So to prevent that, I'm just going to spend it. You don't know who's going to get your junk. You just think you do. Well, I've got a will and I'm going to leave it to so-and-so. Yeah, well, you leave it to so-and-so and they squander it away and before you know it, somebody else has got all your junk. Number 5, he did not know that you could lay up treasure in heaven. Now, I can't help you with the day of your death, but I can help you with laying up that treasure. You don't have to be ignorant of that. I want you to understand that you need enough stuff to live a life, and I think God wants us to have a decent life. I'm not telling you to be so austere that you're poor and miserable and you can't enjoy life. Just don't forget about God. Don't get too convinced you're going to be around forever. Don't be unwilling to share it. But while you're doing all that, don't just get treasure down here. Lay up some in heaven. Amen. One of these days you're going to leave down here and that old body's going to lay down and die and the soul will see ya in the sweet by and by and it takes off for glory. I don't want to get home and be a beggar up there. I would rather be a beggar down here. Lester Roloff used to say, people tend to sacrifice the eternal on the altar immediate. You understand what that means? They sacrifice, that is, they give up or they lose the eternal because they choose the temporary, the temporal. They would rather have it right here, right now, than to wait on it till you get home to glory. Don't be that dumb. If you manage to keep it 50, 60, 70 years down here, that is but a blink of an eye, and it's gone, and you will leave it to somebody else. I want to put up my treasure where thieves do not break through, and where rust does not corrupt. I want to lay up my treasure in heaven. Amen. I want to be rich toward God, rather than rich down here. Now, I'm trying to figure out a way to do both. If you can only do one, live your life for God. Share what God gives you with others and lay up treasure in heaven. Now I'm talking to saved folks. Unsaved folks, you need to learn God. You need to learn about God. You need to learn there is a God. You need to get saved by God's grace. But if you're here, and I'm assuming that everybody here is saved and watching the blood of the Lamb, talking to a room full of born again Christians. Don't take all your treasure here and now. Lay up some above. So that when you go home to glory, wouldn't it be awful? You ever think about this? To walk down the streets of gold, clad in the rags, and have nothing. You know, down here we always want to dress appropriate for the occasion. Right? If you go to church, you put on a coat and tie, you dress up. Ladies put on a nice dress and blouse and skirt, whatever it is, get your hair fixed. You know, fix yourself up. Say, well, we're going down to the house of God. We want to look good. We're going to a wedding. We put on good clothes. We go to a funeral. We show respect. We put on, you know, we dress appropriately. And you don't want to go looking like you're the poorest thing in town. Little old ladies get out their little string of pearls. My grandmother used to get her funeral dress out. You know, she wore it all of them. She only had the one. And it always smelled like mothballs. But she'd get dressed for the occasion. I don't want to get home to glory and be walking down Glory Boulevard, kicking up gold dust, looking like and acting like a beggar. I'd like to have some treasure up there and look like I'm a citizen who is supposed to be there. We get too busy laying up our treasure down here. We need to get our eyes fixed on eternity and lay up some treasure up there. Up there. You're going to be there a lot sooner than you think. All right, Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord God, I pray that you'd help us.